My name is John Cullen, and I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and curling. It's the story of Broomgate, how a single broom, yes, a broom, turned friends into foes and almost killed the 500-year-old sport of curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
You ever met a child? They've got questions. And starting tomorrow, when all of a sudden something that was illegal and forbidden is available at a store down the street or via the same delivery service that brings them toys from Amazon, probably going to have a lot more. Daddy, what's pot? Do you do pot? Is it bad for you? But last year, school said you could go to jail. And older kids, Mom, can I have a puff? It's legal now. Can my friends smoke in the backyard? Are you guys high right now? And if you've ever dealt with other parents, you know the majority of them tend to have pretty strong opinions on what it's okay to do as a parent. So can your kid go over to Amy's house if Amy's mom likes a post-work joint? How is that different from the cold beer that Dad has after a long day of work? Can you break out the vape when the kids go to sleep, or do you need to wait for a babysitter night? A lot of parents have dealt with these questions already. A lot of people smoke pot in this country, and they've kept the answers to themselves. The big question now is what happens tomorrow when it's all out in the open, everywhere? Welcome to day two of Pot Week. Mom and Dad, pot and the kids. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
It's legal. It's just a normal, I know this isn't going to happen overnight, but it's a normal substance that parents are allowed to use. So why would they hide it?
Kim Schiffman is the editor-in-chief of Today's Parent. Unsurprisingly, they've had a ton of questions from readers around what actually happens tomorrow. Kim, what kinds of questions do you get?
So all over social and as a response to the stories that we post on Today's Parent, we do see some questions popping up from parents about cannabis legalization. One of them is, how do you sound tolerant without sounding like you're giving approval to use it? And that's probably more relevant for parents of teens.
Right.
Which Today's Parent doesn't cover quite as extensively. And I understand that. I mean, it's legal. You don't want to sound like a fuddy-duddy. You want to be progressive and show that you get it. I feel like if you come down too hard on it, kids are smart and then they won't trust you anymore. So you want to sound like, yeah, it's legal now. It's not just in the category of like bad and evil drugs, but you also don't want to sound like, yeah, that's cool. Go ahead and do that because it's safe and it's fine. And so I think parents of older kids are struggling with that.
Is there a stigma around parents who smoke pot?
I think there's totally a stigma around parents who smoke pot.
And what is it? What is the stigma?
Well, what is the stigma? I mean, there's a few things. First of all, there's the it's illegal stigma, which is soon going to go away. But I don't expect that that means the stigma disappears in a day. I think there's too many other stigmas that will be harder to slough off. So one of them is like stoner culture stigma. So like the Seth Rogen, Cheech and Chong, if you're old enough to know what that is.
Yeah.
So there's that. So there's the idea that people who smoke pot are they're lazy and they're immature. And that's in stark contrast to people who drink wine. They are sophisticated and very mature and knowledgeable. So I think what's really interesting is the contrast between the parents who openly admit to being excited to pour that glass of wine as soon as their kids go to bed or even while their kids are awake. The contrast between that and then the parents who very quietly won't talk about it on social media or to their friends, but are just as much looking forward to the joint that they are going to roll as soon as their kids go to bed.
Hashtag wine mom is a thing. And it's, I mean, I won't say it's universally celebrated because there's certainly some discussion around that. And you guys have covered that, but it's definitely received openly at many places. And, you know, you go to a bar with your kid or you bring your kid to a restaurant and you order some beers or order some wine. Nobody thinks anything of it.
No one thinks anything of it. And I think there's a few trends that contribute to that. One of them is what I mentioned before about, you know, wine culture and even certain, you know, beer culture with the craft beers, it being celebrated. This is a legitimate hobby. It's a legitimate thing to be interested in. You can spend your spare time learning about different types of alcohol, and that's legitimate. It's even something people look up to, like, wow, they're so sophisticated. They know all this stuff. And then there's also a trend where it's now okay to admit, like, parenting is super hard, it's exhausting, and I'm at a certain point of the evening completely over it and ready to use a substance to relax a little. So those two trends contribute to the wine mom and the, you know, culture being acceptable, and it's considered completely fine to drink a glass of wine or even share a bottle of wine with your partner when you've got, when you're with your kids.
How do you get pot to that stage?
I think that parents who currently smoke pot and, you know, are sort of looking forward to that stigma bubble popping on October 17th, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it'll be a really slow burn, pun intended. Yeah, I think it starts with professional, intelligent, articulate pot smoking parents to come out of the closet.
Which is so funny because the culture around pot has really changed, right? With the dispensaries everywhere, and now people are going to be able to order whatever their favorite strain of pot happens to be, which is not that different from choosing your favorite craft beer, which is not that different from being a wine snob.
I would say they're not different at all.
Yeah.
How are they different, really?
How are they different? Here's a good question. How are they different in terms of your ability to parent?
That's an excellent question. So when it comes to alcohol, there are, there's degrees to which you consume it. Yep. Obviously, no one is going to try to get drunk when they're parenting a child. And if they are, then that's, you know, that's problematic without any provision. Like, that's problematic.
Right. There's a stigma attached to that, and it's totally deserved.
It's deserved. You shouldn't be drunk when you're taking care of a child. And you also shouldn't be super stoned when you're taking care of a child. Pot is strong, and it's been strong for a while, but you don't have to get totally wasted. I know from, you know, the parents that we talk to, a lot of them are having a bit of pot, either once their kids go to sleep or even when their kids are awake. They say it makes them a more relaxed parent. It makes them less anxious and it makes them more goofy. It makes kid stuff more fun. I mean, a lot of parents,
if you're playing blocks for an hour and a half.
That's right. Or like, you know, like, I mean, my son will want me to act out whole like ninja related scenes. And, you know, that's not fun for me. I am forcing myself to do it.
I can see where.
It's like, I legit don't find that fun. I love so many elements of parenting, but not really that. And I think, you know, parents in that situation, having had just a few puffs off a joint, would make that a lot more fun.
And now, you can go to town on the Legos.
That's right. Now, I can absolutely imagine people thinking, like, if you need, and I see this too on social from our readers, if you need that to enjoy parenting, like, you shouldn't be a parent. Okay. Judgmental, but a point that we can explore. I would argue that you got to look at the benefit versus the downside, right? So the risk analysis here.
Yep.
You know, what are the downsides to having a few puffs of a joint and then playing with your kid? Arguably, the research indicates it's a safe substance. Like, you're not really damaging yourself greatly.
You're not smoking it. I presume as long as you're not smoking it around the child, right? You go outside, obviously,
and
all the normal things that you would do. Like, there's parents who are cigarette smokers, and we tell them the same thing.
That's right. So I'm not suggesting that we're, you know, in the living room lighting up and blowing smoke in our kids' faces. But it does scandalize a lot of parents because we're still used to drugs are bad. Sober is good when it comes to kids.
Right. And this is a psychoactive substance.
It is. It changes the way you think and the way you act. But there are degrees, right? Again, we're not getting wasted around our kids. We shouldn't be with alcohol or with any substance.
So here's the natural next question to that is, how much should parents be discussing this with other parents? Because I know my daughter is a little too young to have like her friends over unsupervised from her friends' houses. But when she's older, I certainly wouldn't say to them when they say, you know, can my daughter come over and play with your daughter? I'd be like, well, yes, but I'm going to have a beer. I got to warn you, right? But I feel like because of that stigma, parents who don't smoke pot would maybe expect to know if that was going on in the house their kid was going to.
I expect that parents would want to know that.
Is it other parents' duty to volunteer that information once it's legal?
Isn't that weird? That's a really weird, it's such an interesting question. Like you say, no one would ever throw in there like, yeah, I'm happy to take your kid for a few hours. They can play at my house with my kid. I'm going to let you know that I will be having a beer. Like, that's just
right.
That's ridiculous.
Or if you came over to pick her up and I was sitting on the couch with a half-drunk beer, you wouldn't be, oh my God.
I really don't think you would. But of course, if you smell marijuana in the house, you're going to be like really freaked out. But should you be. That fear, that freaked out feeling, I feel like would come from a place of ignorance. And that's not to say it's okay. I'm not suggesting that if you walk into that house to pick up your kid and it smells like weed, you know, you don't have any leg to stand on if you want to have a serious conversation with that parent. But before you come down too hard, it probably behooves you to do a little bit of research and to understand what you're talking about.
Do I hide it from my kids? Do parents have to keep it hidden? Once again, we wouldn't make a secret of pouring that glass of wine or whatever.
That's right. So we have a story on todaysparent.com called How to Tell Your Kids You Smoke Weed. Why did we publish this story? Not so that, you know, you can sit down with your three-year-old and explain to them what marijuana is, because we don't talk to our little kids about what alcohol is either. But I think there are some circumstances where you want to talk to your kids about your own use. One of them is if your kid is already old enough to know what cannabis is,
yep,
and they think of it as the same as any other terrible drugs like heroin and crack. And I mean, my own kid recently was like, when does cocaine get legal again? And I was like, oh, honey, no. It's not cocaine. So I think if you're going to be using it and you have a kid who potentially thinks it's a really awful, terrible thing that can ruin your life, you don't want them to find out. Either they walk in on you, they find it, they smell it, something happens, and then they're thrown into this terrible, you know, psychological distress of like, God, my parents are doing this horrible thing and they could be really hurting themselves. So I feel like a proactive conversation, maybe, you know, even on, as soon as it feels right, as soon as they bring it up, or maybe you bring it up and you just let them know that this is legal. It's, you know, not really different from alcohol or any substance that is legal for adults. And it's something that you might use. I mean, it's going to be an awkward conversation,
yeah,
but just keep reminding yourself that it's really not that different from alcohol. And then it just becomes a lot less scary.
So back to the original kind of part of that question, then, for younger kids, not necessarily talking to them about it, but just hiding the use of, you know, the same way you would open a bottle of wine at the kitchen table. Let's say you have a 3-4-year-old who's old enough to know kind of, or watch what you're doing at the very least, right? Would you be rolling a joint at the kitchen table the same way you would open a bottle of wine? I'm just, it's because that's the age when kids are kind of forming opinions about what's normal and what's not.
This is absolutely a parent's decision, but based on the fact that it's legal in every province, it's no more dangerous than alcohol and, you know, arguably far safer. And also in the interest of not being secretive, because I feel like that just makes kids even more curious and less trusting of you.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that there's no compelling reason to hide your use. You certainly want to keep it safe and locked up,
right,
from
yeah,
your children's little hands. And I have strong feelings about bringing in cannabis products that look very similar to things
candy
kids
yeah
consume. But I'm not sure. I think there's a strong reason to keep it hidden away. I mean, you know, it's legal. It's just a normal, mm-hmm, I mean, I know this isn't going to happen overnight, but it's a normal substance that parents are allowed to use. So why would they hide it? I'm a big proponent of talking to kids about the things we don't want them to do. Because as scary as it is, it's proven, research proves that the more you talk to kids about these things, the less likely they are to do it. We can even look at the conversations about, you know, sexual activity and mm-hmm kids. You know, the more you talk to them about sex, about birth control, about sexually transmitted diseases, the less likely they are to do these things at a young age. And I think that extends to drinking alcohol and using cannabis.
So kids probably haven't been following the entire year run up to legalization. They're just know that before this drug was illegal and bad and now it's okay. How do you communicate that to a child that yesterday this was not allowed and today it's allowed?
Yeah, I think it depends on the age of the child. But the way I intend to explain this to my 10-year-old is to actually, he's very intellectually curious, so that helps, and he's pretty mature. But I intend to explain to him some of the reasons why cannabis was made illegal in the first place, which are not really health or danger related. They're far more political.
An impromptu mom history lesson.
And then talk about the reasons why it's legal now. And again, I don't think those are really health or danger related. They're more political and economic related.
Sweetie, the liberals needed to win the youth vote, so.
But really, though, for my 10-year-old anyway, and I'm not bragging, he's not perfect, but he's smart. So that's where I would go with that. For a younger child, it might be, if you wanted to explain to them, it might be a conversation like, hey, honey, you know how they used to have the monkey bars at the school and then they took them away because kids kept breaking their arms. So sometimes grownups think a rule makes sense and then they change the rule when they have better information. So that's what's happened here. This is something that used to be illegal, and then the people in charge decided that it didn't really make sense as a rule, so they've changed the rule.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world.
Kim Schiffman is the editor-in-chief of Today's Parent. That was The Big Story. For more from us, hit us up at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Check out some of our other episodes. Check out episode one of Pot Week. And of course, find us on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we are wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Google, wherever you happen to be. Rate us and review us. And if you like us, pass us on only to the left to whomever else you know who could use a good news podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.